The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all brought to you by BetMGM, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, and Japan gets it done against Germany. Comeback from a 1-0 deficit to a 2-1 victory, much like the Saudis did. Saudi Arabia against Argentina. This not quite as big of an upset. That one was 25-1. This was about 6-1. But man, does anybody know anything in this tournament?
Peanuts. 6-1? Six to one?
Nothing. Yeah. Wow.
Japan.
Comebacks for both of those sides, though.
That was impressive.
Paul Carr will join us here to talk World Cup. He's got some thoughts. I have taken to the complete bet the draw in almost every game strategy at this point.
It always feels like the best strategy in betting soccer to me, but it just feels like nobody wants to see a draw.
I hit Morocco-Croatia this morning, missed on this one right here. Top of the hour, Spain against Croatia, I bet the draw too. Now, I did not later, took Spain -2 against Costa Rica, because apparently Costa Rica is terrible. But other than that, it's kind of the play the draw as a default kind of thing. Should we just get into the bets real quick? Sure. This is I brought rando bets for me today here on the day before Thanksgiving. The Canada-Belgium draw and the Spain -2 that I just mentioned. And then, of course, if you've followed this show, taking the Pepperdine waves, Kelly.
Let's go. Wave on.
Where, of course, if you listened to the show yesterday, Kelly and I will be broadcasting from, really for the balance of our careers.
That's right. We're going to be getting jobs as professors at Pepperdine.
Sure. What are you going to teach? What are you going to teach there?
TV and radio department. TV and radio. Come on.
Sure. Plus 16.5. And yes, I did sprinkle some on the money line at more than 11-1.
Hell yeah.
Because why not?
Early season college basketball.
Thanksgiving Eve. By the way, Dr. Bob, his opinion is to take UCLA. So we're a little oppo on that. So Paul Carr will join us to talk World Cup momentarily. Joe Pita will join us. And what has become a sort of Thanksgiving tradition around here on a numbers game, the week of Thanksgiving, when Survivor gets below 100, although last year it was 134 heading into Thanksgiving left in Circus Survivor. This year, 134 out of 4,080. This year it is 74 out of 6,133. Joe Pita joins us from his Wall Street background at Lehman. He's going to not only talk about the most optimal teams to play on this Thanksgiving, which is its own week in Circus Survivor, and what the hedging strategy, Wall Street style, ought to be. So we'll talk to Joe. Always an interesting annual segment with him.
So if you had to guess, how many do you think remain past this upcoming weekend?
Sunday, unlike last year, the Sunday after Thanksgiving last year was a gauntlet, part of a three sort of week gauntlet. This year, it's easy peasy on paper, right? Because you have the Chiefs as more than a 2-touchdown favorite. The Dolphins are huge favorites. There's a third game that's huge favorite in there. So I don't know. I mean, if there's no upset tomorrow, it's going to be a bunch of those 74.
It could be 50-plus, more than 50, probably.
Could be. And remember, last year, a bunch got knocked out because the Raiders upset the Cowboys in that game where both teams were penalized 14 times, 28 penalties. And we had the thought exercise, again, for those who have listened to a numbers game keenly through the years, Jeff Parlay and I had that thought exercise where I was like, Jeff, if you knew 133 people were going to take the Cowboys today and you had the Raiders available, would you take the Raiders? And he was like, no. Because the thought of them winning was so ridiculous.
Slim.
And I go, Jeff, how close can you get to winning $6 million any other day of your life? You would have to, right? So that's how you've got to think. You've got to be, the point is to win this, not to survive.
Well, and that's where I guess we're at the point where the strategy gets really interesting to me, right? I mean, we talked to Bob DeLuca, obviously, in weeks past. This was the week where he was kind of zeroing in on starting to zag, right? Instead of keep doing what he's been doing. So, yeah, I think the strategy at this point in Survivor gets really fascinating.
It's also another element that makes Survivor. And by the way, we'll use Circus Survivor as proxy for the Survivor that you might still be alive in your part of the country. But what makes it so difficult for the human brain is you've lived with your entry from September all the way to Thanksgiving. So the willingness to just let it go now, go for broke, which is what you should do optimally, but it's hard to overcome the way your brain is wired.
Yeah.
That's what makes this fascinating.
I mean, it's got to be way easier with two, right? If you have two entries left or more.
So of the remaining 74, I broke it all down last night, we'll do it with Joe. But of the remaining 74, four, as best as we know, because there could be somebody out there that played two with two different names. I don't know. But of the remaining 74, four people have two entries remaining. And of the remaining 74, and we'll just go through real quick now, there's four paths here. Again, for Circa, Thursday is its own week. By the way, the four people with two entries, El Loco, I'm Da Man, Santa Rosa Sam, and The Enemy Within. Of those four who have two entries left, three have the ability to use one on Dallas and one on Buffalo if they so choose. But the real thing is there's four paths now, with Buffalo and Dallas sort of being the pillars of Thanksgiving tomorrow. 11 of the remaining 74 have used both Dallas and Buffalo. 14 have used Buffalo but not Dallas. 27 have used Dallas but not Buffalo. And 22 have both Buffalo and Dallas available. So we're going to talk to Joe Pita about knowing that, and we'll review this then when he comes on. What is the most optimal way to play this? How do you hedge? It's a whole fascinating discussion, I think. We'll also talk to Mike Pritchard on football in the NFL. Will Hill will be here to join us. We both happen to catch the Creighton game against Arkansas in college basketball from Maui. Is Humans in Maui, by the way, watching these games?
Oh, of course.
Ah, what a life.
Yeah. They're every year.
Creighton might be a team that's going to go deep in March. They look really good. By the way, Arkansas looked great, too. They were not at full strength. So that was an outstanding early season college basketball game yesterday. You excited for Thanksgiving tomorrow, Kelly? You excited for you doing anything special?
No.
No, nothing at all?
No, we got shows as normal. We'll be
nothing
shows
at night,
and football,
you're not,
man.
You're not going to somebody's house for turkey?
I will be stopping by someone's briefly, but, you okay. know. Yeah. Couple shows to do and football going on. Nothing too special for me tomorrow.
I thought long and hard about why yesterday, because Kelly and I don't disagree on much, but apparently we have a vehement disagreement on turkey. Kelly loves turkey. I think it's horrific. But I thought about that, and I thought to myself, why would that be? And I think, if we may have a little Thanksgiving reflection here, Kelly, I think there is a cultural reason for this.
Okay.
So my parents didn't land on Plymouth Rock. They didn't come here on the Mayflower, right? My parents came here on a boat, literally on a boat in the early 60s. And they landed in New York City. By the way, my dad had, as he used to say it, he said, I had 1.5 suitcases. The other half I filled with a pillow. I was so embarrassed. And $700. That's all he had. And they landed in New York. They said they spent one day in New York, for 4 hours, they just looked up at buildings. They were like, just like, what in the world? Because they'd heard about America.
Yeah.
And they just couldn't believe the height of these buildings. So then they took a train to D.C., which was basically a cow town at that point. Not really. But it was just like, but compared to New York City,
sure, right, yeah.
It was just this humble
little
town.
It's nothing compared to New York.
So they landed literally the day before Thanksgiving in 1961. And so they ran to the TV to turn it on because they didn't have TVs in the Middle East at that point. And so they turn on the TV, and all there was on TV was turkeys everywhere, right? They didn't – Thanksgiving is an American holiday. They had no idea what they were watching. And my mother was like, they really love turkeys in this country. What is with these people? And then they learned that it was Thanksgiving, right? So my mom, who is a great cook, now cut to my childhood some years later. By the way, what a great timing of them coming to D.C. because 20 years later, the great Joseph Jackson Gibbs would land in Washington as well. You get it. But here's the thing. It's like I wedged him in there. So,
yeah. You connected it to sports.
Thanks very much. So my mom, for my whole childhood, was like, she's a great cook. Greatest cook I know. I'll eat anything. But Thanksgiving was her kryptonite. Because this was not like native to, and I think this is not
sure.
I don't think this is a Jewish thing. I think it's an immigrant thing. Because it's also the reason why I love Joe Coy's comedy, right? Like, we can all relate to it if you're not from this, if you're like first generation American. And so she tried to chase this Thanksgiving. She tried to perfect turkey and stuffing and all this thing, and she never could. Never could. And as I said yesterday, I'm all about the stuffing. Turkey just was off the board. She was just horrible.
I know what you mean, and I think you're right about it. Because my dad's side of the family, he was first generation. So, yeah, like my grandmother on that side, she never did anything with Thanksgiving, really.
So my mom tried to put raisins or nuts in it. My buddy Tommy, who I grew up with, also a child of Holocaust survivors, we would, every Thursday, every Thanksgiving, like, we'd call each other by, you know, afternoon by the Cowboys game. By the time the Cowboys game rolled around, I was like, how was your stuffing? He'd be like, oh, she jacked it up again. And I'd be like, yeah, my mom murdered hers too. We were so bitter about not having good stuffing on Thanksgiving that a month later, when we would go to Key Biscayne, as I've told you many times, where we hung out every Christmas, Tommy and I sometimes left to our own devices. I can't remember the circumstances why we were left to our own devices, but we would buy stovetop stuffing and exist, live on stovetop, because we were so bitter about our Thanksgiving experience.
Man, you ballers in Miami.
It's all stuffing.
We're going to Miami. We're going to buy a bunch of stuffing.
Bro, we had Cocoa Pebbles in the morning, stuffing in the afternoon as a makeup for Thanksgiving, and then we bet High Ally at night.
Oh, that's great.
Getting back to betting, right?
Beach, stuffing, High Ally betting.
That's all we did. That's all we did. But
that's
my Thanksgiving experience, and that is why I don't have the same love for turkey that I think others do. Because I think that
makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
I mean, also, people just don't like turkey.
There's that too.
But I think,
but
yes,
some people, because the last 24 hours, all people have been telling me, like, Will's texting me, he's like, here's the way you make turkey. Like, everybody's telling me that turkey's awesome. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't land on Plymouth Rock. We didn't. All right, we'll come back. Paul Carr, World Cup, his picks for the rest of the day moving forward, his thoughts on these upsets, the USA's performance, how they're going to do against England. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. And start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
Man, you okay over there? I've never seen you almost not make it through a read.
I was laughing in my head about what you're saying, like, ball into Miami, you guys. It's Moses led us out of bondage for 40 days and 40 nights through the desert. Cut to a shot of us chilling in Miami.
Spring bake, we got stuffers at home. Let's go. Stovetop.
The history of my people. All right, this is we get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from John Fitzgibbons. Oh, this is a very nice tweet. It says, so stuffing versus dressing, my power rankings come to stuffing -4, but Gil, I like your number better. Kelly put juice on the turkey, not on the dog, but don't overdo it. Diminishing returns. Have yams and sweet potatoes too. Don't dicker. Happy Thanksgiving, fellas. The guessing lines bingo tweet right there from John Fitzgibbons. We appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving to you. This is from Mike Rouse. He says, is Tommy the same friend as the Winn-Dixie tickets? Yes. Great memory. That was a whole Tommy and I was like, we were like 7 or 8 years old, getting hoodwinked by the Winn-Dixie sweepstakes Sunday night horse racing. We're gonna win $1,000. We were so excited. Completely fixed. Thank you, Mike Rouse, for that memory. New York Mets 16. Scotty says, Gil, the only good thing about turkey is the stuffing you cook inside of it. I'm with you. Los Vegas 514. Yo, turkey, Joe Gibbs and family. Happy Thanksgiving to you and young Kelly. Happy Thanksgiving to you as well, sir. And Ryan Hyatt, when it comes to the dislike of turkey, Gil and I are of the same tribe. Welcome. And this is from Todd, Canarsie born 65. Gil, I agree with your Thanksgiving analysis. My dad is from Israel, and though he enjoys Thanksgiving, he doesn't like turkey. Give him slow-cooked beef, and he's a happy man. Yeah, and I loved Thanksgiving, right? Because half day of school, Wednesday it used to be, then off Thursday, Friday. Food and football. What was there not to like? It's awesome.
Glorious weekend. Great sports weekend.
Oh, this weekend with the World Cup added in, phenomenal college football. Not to mention, of course, the NFL. We bring in Paul Carr, ladies and gentlemen, from the Expected Value podcast, True Media Networks. Used to be with ESPN. How you doing, Paulie?
I'm well. I am on the pro turkey bandwagon with Kelly.
Yeah.
I think the problem is it's a tough thing to cook. So many people are just used to having not good turkey. But I think it's kind of like a point guard where it makes everything better. You know, you can have it with the cranberry, have it with the stuffing. But yeah, it's a big challenge just to get it cooked right. So my wife is great at it. So I'm very happy and excited about it.
Good on your wife. Shout out to your wife on that. By the way, you also, the thing I love about you as much as anything, Paul, I love a lot of things about you, but you listen to the show as well, and you always have a good comment. Pepperdine. We were just bringing up Pepperdine. I have a bet on Pepperdine today, taking the points, a little sprinkle on the money line against UCLA. You were making the comment via text. You're like, how is it that they are not better athletically as a school? How can that possibly be?
So my brother went to Pepperdine. Oh. So I took him out there. He's my younger brother. I took him out there his freshman year, so it was his first time. And we get to his dorm, and like one side of the dorm is out overlooking the ocean, and the other one is up looking at the mountains. And I'm trying to figure out why I went to college in Chicago in the winter.
In Boston, like, same thing. Yeah.
Why isn't the recruiting pitch, come live here for 4 years? That's it.
Cross the street and go to the beach. It's beach, highway, school. It's really easy.
Also, Paul, how dumb are we that we went to school in cold weather? Like, come on.
That was a terrible job by us.
So bad. If I don't have many regrets in life, that was one of them. Like, what was I thinking? 40 below wind chill. So
I remember my senior year, we're on a basketball trip, and it was out to the West Coast at the Bay Area. And we leave 3 feet of snow in Chicago, and we land in the Bay Area, and everyone's wearing shorts and T-shirts, and we're just like, what did we do with our lives here?
That being said, I probably would have flunked out right first semester. I would have been
true. I would have got nothing done.
Nothing done already. It was already a struggle first semester. All right.
All right, less than normal.
Let's talk about this. Saudi Arabia, as high as a 25-1 preflop favorite, they were at 100-1 in-game, down 1-0 to Argentina. Saudi Arabia comes back, biggest World Cup upset ever, or one of the biggest ever, depending on who you believe on this. The other thing is, this morning, just now, Japan comes back from a 1-0 deficit to Germany, which we know is an official Paul Carr play. They win it 2-1 as a 6-1 preflop dog. What gives, man?
Man, I mean, I feel like this kind of comes up every World Cup where the bottom is getting closer to the top. Maybe there's just more of that going on. I mean, every World Cup, you generally have, you know, more guys, a lot of Japanese players play in Germany. So, you know, there's the fear factor is less. You can see these guys on TV more. Some of that is, so yeah, it just shrinks the bottom gets close to the top. It's kind of like we see in the NCAA tournament where your mid-majors and even lower conference teams aren't as scared or a little more close in caliber. So maybe there's some of that. It could also just be the flukiness of a tournament, you know? These one-off games, especially in soccer, things get weird, as we've talked about. But yeah, it's been a little bit wild already. A couple of big upsets so far.
All right, and then is your take on the United States performance similar to the conventional wisdom, which is left a couple points on the board, guess you got to be happy with one, but really, if we're taking truth serum, we shouldn't be happy at all with that?
Yep. U.S. executed their game plan just about as perfectly as possible. They dominated the first half, and they had lots of chances in the second half. The problem is, the two giant problems, they didn't score a second goal, and they had all these counter opportunities in the second half, and they didn't convert any of them. They didn't even get close on a lot of them because that pass before the pass just wasn't any good. So they did almost exactly what they wanted to do. They just didn't execute. I think that's probably a little more on the players than the coaches, but it's pretty disappointing because, you win that game, and you can almost coast into the knockout stage. And now you really want to get a point against England to have your best chance of going through.
Any betting trend in the early going here that you can sort of sink your teeth into or not really?
I mean, you mentioned the draws. 6 of 9 games have gone under 2.5. It's a small sample size. I don't think there's a whole lot there. The draws are interesting, though.
The draws, again, man. I swear by it.
I was looking today, I think Canada's like plus 320 to get a draw against Belgium, which I like
it.
A lot.
I took it.
Yeah. You can get north of plus 300 on almost any draw, except maybe against, you know, Brazil. That's a pretty good price. I mean, Ghana and Portugal are plus 350 tomorrow-ish for a draw. That looks pretty good. I don't mind the draw because, again, we talk about how these first games, you can't lose or you can't win the tournament in the first game. You can almost lose it if you get smoked by a lot of goals. So teams do tend to want to keep it close.
I took the plus 340 on the draw. You had another bet in this game coming up in about 38 minutes, by the way, between Canada and Belgium. What did you play?
I played Canada double chance or Canada plus half a goal at plus 160. So, I mean, I think I've talked about this a couple times. Belgium's defense is old and slow, and Canada counterattacks you to death. That's what they want to do. That's what they did to the U.S. That's what they did to Mexico. They'll defend, and they have a lot of speed up top that I think will give Belgium fits. So I have Canada plus half a goal. I don't mind the draw either.
And the other game, the last of the quadruple header today, if you will. This is a play you gave to us the other day when you were on Spain laying the goals against a Costa Rica team. That I guess I would follow-up question would be like, you could do you play against Costa Rica in every which way possible? I know some our buddy Chris Velika is playing I think he's playing less than half a goal for them team total or something like that.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I have a Costa Rica get no points in the group stage future as well. It does make me a little hesitant after, you know, what some of these upsets have done so far, but I think this will look a lot like the France-Australia game did yesterday. Maybe Costa Rica's pesky for a little bit, but Spain is just so much better. I mean, Costa Rica was really lucky to get here. Their keeper, Keylor Navas, is really good. And the only reason that they're here, but I think Spain rolls this. So yeah, I played Spain lane 2.5 plus 140.
This is the thing with the Saudi Arabia Argentina result, less so today, but the Japan Germany just before this. If Costa Rica messes with Spain, can we just accept that none of us knows a damn thing at this point? Yeah,
it's hard. Imagine the NCAA tournament.
Yeah,
but you take like 6 months off basically before the tournament, and these teams that only played conference games, you haven't seen any sort of interconference things. And then you take 6 months off and you're playing these one-off games, essentially. It is just a weird, weird format. And, you know, some of the players have changed. So this team that, you know, you saw win its conference in May is different than the one that's playing in November, things like that. It's a very tricky thing to handicap when so much changes from obviously game to game, but just over the months before the tournament was played.
Makes sense. You have a play tomorrow too, though.
Tomorrow, what I do tomorrow? Uruguay win versus South Korea. Again, these Asian countries doing well in Saudi Arabia and Japan makes me a little hesitant. But South Korea may not have Sun Heung-min from Tottenham, who's their best player. I think Uruguay is just really good top to bottom. Their midfield, Valverde and Betancourt of Tottenham and Valverde of Real Madrid is really good. And I just think they'll win this one. Minus 135 is the price I got, especially if Sun Heung-min is out for South Korea.
All right, last thing. We only have 20 seconds. France looked really good yesterday against Australia. Yeah. Is that more their opponent, or was that more France?
I think it's more the opponent. It's also good to see France do that because there were so many questions with injuries and things like that.
They looked awfully good. To my very trained soccer eye, Paul, they looked awfully,
they looked good. Hot take.
Yes, hot take. That's right. Thank you, Paul. Happy Thanksgiving, man.
Thanks, Gil. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Paul Carr, everybody. P-A-U-L-C-A-R-R on the Twitter machine from the Expected Value Podcast. Joe Pita joins us to talk Survivor. Can't wait for this. Next, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You don't have to wait until after Turkey Day to score a Black Friday deal with VSiN. New VSiN Pro annual subscribers get a $30 credit to the VSiN store. With VSiN Pro Access, you get a daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game. Deep dive daily betting reports, plus our upcoming College Bowl and Super Bowl betting guides. The VSiN store is a great place to shop for VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear. Hurry, it's a limited time Black Friday offer, so sign up now for the perfect sports betting holiday gift at VSiN.com/subscribe. Thanks, Kelly, for starting the Excel spreadsheet for the crew for the VSiN store for their Thanksgiving presents. Here's the thing. Only Sean McCollum has responded so far. I have a Christmas present ready for the crew, too, but they don't get their Christmas present unless they fill out their Thanksgiving present. This is how it works.
I didn't know that this was just for Thanksgiving.
This is just for Thanksgiving.
I maybe just told them it was a holiday gift from Gil.
And they're going to blow it.
Didn't know it was...
they're going to blow it.
Didn't know it was like Hanukkah. We got 7 days coming here?
Yeah, it's Hanukkah. No. You're not getting no to Hanukkah. We get tweets. We get texts at Beating the Book. We get tweets. This is from our buddy Bob DeLuca at Crush'em Sports. He said, love the stories, man. Plymouth Rock. Stovetop stuffing, highlight. Keep the family stories coming. Happy Thanksgiving. Stay great. Thank you, Bob DeLuca. And you stay great too, Bob DeLuca. We loved Bob for coming on.
Oh, yeah.
When he had the 6 entries alive. Again, Joe Pita standing by here to talk about the remaining 74. Mark Geiger, in-house attorney for the show. I like your 40-day number than the real number, which was 40 years wandering in the wilderness. And you call yourself a man of the tribe. With your off days, I suggest watching the Ten Commandments. It will be way better than soccer. Happy holidays. Mark, I'm no biblical scholar.
He's got homework from Mark, man.
That's right. Brian M., my wife's cousin came out to the Cape for a wedding a few years back from San Diego. He really wanted to see Plymouth Rock. I said not to bother. He was confused until I told him, it's a rock. This is from...
That's a great tweet.
By the way, Buddhist Man deserves... We never bring up Buddhist Man, but he deserves like a bunch of shout-outs because he photoshops our pro tips into some of the more silly things we say during the hour. This one is very heartfelt. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. That's his general life pro tip. And Robert D. Kenton, where can I find your NFL power rankings? Oh, well, we're doing those later right here on the show.
In just about 1 hour from now, that's where you'll be able to find them.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's the author of Trading Bases, which was his absolutely wonderful book about rehabbing and convalescing, quite frankly, from a horrible accident that he had when an ambulance hit him in New York City. A Wall Street guy who then took his Wall Street theories and his Wall Street knowledge and applied them to betting the sport of baseball. Later, we know him as the author of the 2019 Masters Tour Guide, where he took previously unavailable Masters data from Augusta and applied it to betting the Masters. And just a general overall great guy to have on the show every now and then talking football. Had the big Denver Broncos under earlier this year. It's Joe Pita, everybody. How you doing, Joe?
Hey, Gil, great to be on, and I thank you for having me on during Paul Carr Week.
That's right. It is Paul Carr Week here on the show.
Made room for you, Joe. It's okay. Oh, it was tough, but we made room for you.
Yeah, I figured, yeah, it is tough to squeeze in with Paul. I got an answer for you from one of his queries from last episode. Gil, you've mentioned Wall Street, so yes, I have been at a number of firms who have invested on behalf of some of America's largest institution. And the reason Pepperdine does not have, my guess is, the reason they don't have a more robust sports program is they have almost no endowment to speak of as a school. And the reason for that is that school was founded in 1971. That's how young that school is. So they have almost no... like I say, they have no endowment to speak of, and that is a huge element to, you know, just the general funding of extracurricular activities across America's universities.
So catch them in about 50 years, and it might be a different story.
Yeah, what they need is they need, like, Sadiq Thigala to turn into Tiger Woods, right, and grant, you know, give a billion-dollar grant. Something like that. But yes, they got the land. They certainly have the most valuable land in America,
man,
as far as universities go.
Do they ever? All right. So this is a bit of an annual tradition, Joe. I was saying earlier, it might be Paul Carr Week, but this is kind of your annual week where you come on and we do this again through the prism of Circa Survivor. And I get it. Not everyone in the country is in Circa Survivor, but let this discussion be proxy for the Survivor contest that you might still be alive in. So let's go through the numbers, and then I want to throw it to you. So 6,133 entries started Circus Survivor, all at $1,000 a pop, 6,133,000. Out of that 6,133, 74 entries remain. 74, just over 1% remain. Last year at this time, it was 134. 1.21% to be exact remain, 74 out of 6,133. So the intrinsic value of each of those remaining entries... $82,878.38. This is, in Circa, its own week, Thanksgiving Day, week 12A, if you will. We show at the bottom of the screen here the remaining entries, what teams are available. So the remaining 74, Buffalo, 49 have available. Dallas, 36 of the remaining 74 have Dallas available, just to note those two. But here's the real stuff that we want to get into with you, Joe, which is there are essentially four paths when we talk about Buffalo and Dallas being the big favorites tomorrow. And so, guys, if you could flip the screen on this, because this is where I really want to get to with Joe, is who has Buffalo and Dallas available? 11 have you, let's start with the remaining 74. 11 have used both Buffalo and Dallas. 14 have used Buffalo but not Dallas. 27 have used Dallas but not Buffalo. 22 have both Buffalo and Dallas available. So I guess I throw it to you, Joe. You can start wherever you want to, but the real question I want to get to first is, what's the most EV play today, knowing all that?
Oh, you want to start with that?
Well, we don't have to start with that. Let's start where you want to start. We'll get to that.
Okay. I think the first thing to do is look at last year. And you correctly laid out last year there was 134 people left. And as you might remember, I was one of them. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I know you referenced it at the top of the show. I think it was because you and I had talked and you knew I was going to take Las Vegas last year.
Yeah.
I think that was the impetus for you doing the thought exercise with Mr. Parlay last year, right? Jack Parles last year. And last year, it truly was a no-brainer to take the Raiders. It was pretty clear that, and I'll lead it into this year. One thing I got good at last year, season was winding down, was projecting what the split was going to be for the people. So last year, I essentially had it that I was figuring there's 84 people that are going to take Dallas. And I'm going to be the one that takes Las Vegas, leaving 83 for Dallas. It turns out 4 people took Las Vegas last year, but even doing that, that was by far the highest EV play. There was one surprise in one of the other games, and we'll see if that is going to be a harbinger this year. Anyway, so this year, let me just start with what my guess is going to be for the break this year.
Please.
I think we're going to have 32 Buffalo. I think we're going to have 31 Dallas, and that's going to leave 11 people on the Minnesota-New England game. And that's where it gets interesting to me. I don't think, unlike last year, with both Buffalo and Dallas, 9.5-point favorites or a little over 80% win probs, I don't think there is a no-brainer play to take the Giants or the Lions. Now, maybe if you have a football handicapping angle and you really think that one of those should only be a 5-point favorite and, that could change your but not putting any football on this, I don't think the no-brainer play is in the first two games. There's a really interesting scenario for the last game, but I'll let, if you have questions,
let's get right into that because I think this is fascinating.
Okay. So assuming that, and I don't think these numbers are going to be very different. And honestly, it doesn't matter if they are because both teams are 9.5-point favorites. I think you're going to have 63 people in Dallas and Buffalo, and I think it's going to be evenly split. If I'm one of the 11 that has to take the Minnesota-New England game, if I knew I was going to be the only one to take New England is by far the biggest no-brainer pick. Absolutely by far. Highest EV increase, highest expected value or expected intrinsic value increase that can happen. There's even a scenario where you can win the whole thing, right? If you were the only one that takes the Patriots and then the Lions and the Giants win, you're probably winning the whole thing. So you got like a 2% chance of cashing $6 million. You do that for all the scenarios and it's no brainer. The problem is, Gil, and it's similar to the prisoner, the famous prisoner dilemma exercise you might go through in college, is if everybody thinks like that. We knew last year they weren't going to go to Vegas because it was a 7-point dog, et cetera, and we did the thing with Jeff. However, there was a surprise last year, and that was that 14 people took Detroit Lions last year and 21 took Chicago, and I had that projected at like 30-5. So that meant some people were doing game theory on sort of the 2-point game. Well, that's what we've got this year with Minnesota, New England. And if more than 2 people go and take New England, then you shouldn't take New England. So it's really fascinating. We can pick that up after the break.
If more than 2 people take New England, you should not take New England, you said, or you should?
You should not.
That's correct.
Then you should not. Right.
Yeah. Makes sense. But if you knew it was only one, if you knew you were going to be the only one, you absolutely, because when else do you have a shot at winning $6 million on one day?
Yeah.
We'll come back.
More
with Joe Pete, including hedging all of this next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Make some midweek magic with Light the Lamp Wednesdays at BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Place a $25 wager on any NHL player to score a goal on Wednesday, and you'll automatically receive $2 in free bets for every goal scored in the game, up to $16. Just log into your account or download the app and sign up with BetMGM to get started. Then opt into the Light the Lamp Wednesdays promotion to receive a $2 free bet for every goal scored in the game, regardless of your props bet outcome. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. We get tweets at Beating the Book. I just want to read this one. This is from Ryan Thompson, Kelly. Pepperdine is a dry campus. Mystery solved.
Oh, I'm out.
There you go. There's your answer.
It was a great dream while it lasted.
Joe Pita came on here. He gave a very historical analysis as to why Pepperdine does not have better athletic programs, having to do with their endowment, their short history, and Ryan Thompson just comes in and grenades
it. I have 17 follow-up questions to that, that there definitely aren't time for. I mean, what is a dry campus? I mean, every campus is dry, technically, or most are. You know, I mean, like, I went to Florida State. You can't sell booze on the Florida State campus. Now, are you saying you can't have it on the campus at all? But, like, most people are underage. I got a billion questions to this.
Ryan Thompson will need a follow-up.
I mean, I'm pretty sure you could walk down the street, you know, on the beautiful beach and find a nice bar to grab a drink at.
I lied. Let me read one more. This is from Robert S. Lane, a pounder. He says, I wish I was Joe Pita. I could correctly calculate whether it's worth it to try to talk to the girl at the end of the bar. That's very true. I wonder if let's bring Joe Pita back in. He's kind enough to hang out with us for 2 seconds. Joe, when you were a college student, did you have those calculations in your head? You're like, that girl, I'd like to talk to her, but let me run the numbers first.
Gil, as the game ended up, the end game,
yeah,
I outpunched my weight. That is for certain in terms of my wife. I certainly outpunched my weight. So the odds were very low at some point along the process.
All right, let's get back to the Survivor conversation. I just want to sort of like give context for those who are landing here now, which is, you know, you're looking for your best shot at winning $6 million. That doesn't come on every day. I've often said this Survivor's misnamed. It should be, it makes your brain think the object is to survive. And really the way you say it is your goal to go 20-0, 20-0 being the Circus Survivor format, or is it to win the most money? You have to keep that in mind. You always say, Joe, plan your trade your plan. That the former is easy and fun, the latter is really hard. That sort of informs your thinking here as well. And then let me just ask this question. So of the 74 remaining entries, four, best we can tell, because there could be somebody that played different names, we don't know about them. But best we can tell, of the 74, it's not 74 different people, there are four people who have two left. And I'm curious, three of the four can split, can go Bills and Cowboys if they want. One of them can't. And I'm curious about those people. Like, they've had this strategy in their head the whole time. Does their brain get in the way now where they're like, well, I've gotten here, but I don't want to sacrifice one now that the moment is here? There's all of these elements running through. So I don't know. You can continue with what you're saying. But all of those things are curious to me.
Yeah, and Gil, again, that's different from last year. Those four people that have two entries this year, they're not really sacrificing. They're splitting.
They're splitting.
But they've got good options with both picks.
Yeah.
Whereas last year, there was definitely the question, how many people are going to guarantee themselves they go get through Thanksgiving? And I think the answer was three. One person took Vegas and Dallas, and two others split Detroit and Chicago. So that was, you know, part of the element last year. I don't think this year that anybody is going to, I don't think of those four that anybody's going to take, you know, the same game and take the opposite sides, because they've got really good options in splitting their ticket as opposed to guaranteeing.
Three of the four do. Yeah.
That's why the other person can take Minnesota. That fourth person can take both Buffalo, as I recall. And both Minnesota.
Yes.
I assume they're going to split Buffalo and Minnesota. Gil, I'm going to just give you a reminder of last year, too, because I think this got lost last year. The five winners, the ultimate five winners, they all took the Bears last year. And I don't know if you remember.
I don't
but
remember
the Bears
that.
Did not lead that game until there was 1 second left in the game. They were trailing that entire game and kicked a field goal with 1 second. And the other part is, Dallas, Las Vegas almost ended up tied. So the splitting the tickets in that game almost blew up the anybody who was trying to get both of them through.
I mean, now that you say that, it just triggers in my brain. I probably should have started with this, which is Survivor's just a minefield, right? Like, it is just the number of fortuitous bounces, to use the old Dan Dierdorf line on Monday Night Football, that have to go your way. Anyone who gets to the finish, the main thing that they ought to recognize is, hey, I tried to put myself in the best position. It just worked out. But is this really me in the end superior to anybody else? The answer is a resounding no, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So many of the paths are strewn with landmines. And if you happen to avoid the shrapnel, you know, God bless you.
All right. Well, take us through then, assuming we have nothing left to say about the first part of this, take us through the Wall Street hedge on this.
Yeah, and we won't get too mathy here, hopefully, because it gets a lot more interesting or more feasible, let's put it that way. I think when there's a minimum of 60 people left and therefore an intrinsic value of about 100,000, but even more optimally when there's 40 people left and the intrinsic value gets to 150 at that point or over 150. Last year, I think when I came on, I was down in the last 28 and we talked about it from there. So when we get to those numbers in a week or two or three, whenever, Gil, you know, we'll go into big detail. But as hedging applies this week, I would love to be in the Minnesota New England camp of one of those 11 people that are kind of forced in that game. I think I would go, man, it's tough. I think I would go New England still, just because, and hope that only one or two other people go that way.
If you had had one entry, you think you would go New England?
I think so. Letting football into it, though, then I'd want to take Minnesota. It's not like last year when Vegas was an absolutely no-brainer last year. But here's the interesting thing, Gil, about hedging. We talked about this. Of course, a true hedge, raises your floor and lowers your ceiling. And right now, everybody's floor is $1,000. That's what they paid for the entry, to lose $1,000. And, of course, the ceiling is $6.133 million. So if you're really hedging it, you should get yourself in a situation where the best, you know, you're going to improve, you're going to walk away with something, but you're giving away upside to do it. And just simply betting on the other team does not do that. It can just dig you a bigger hole and you're faced, hey, I got 7-8 weeks left. Am I really going to keep, you know, doubling up on this? So the thing I think that's interesting about Minnesota, New England, though, is it's the third game of three being played at a different time. You know where you're going to stand intrinsic value-wise when that game starts.
Good point.
If I had one of those two teams available, I would absolutely be betting the money line on Buffalo. Now, it's not very attractive. That's the thing about the 9-point favorites. But I would be betting I'd be parlaying it. I'd be betting the Buffalo money line. I would be following that up with anything I want on the Dallas money line. And if I were out money in both those games, my God, I'm walking into New England with a $500,000 intrinsic value by the time that game starts. And then you can see how you might want to, you know, play the other side of that game. So that would be that's the advantage, I think, of having that last game. But 80% winners and the other, you know, who knows? But they're sitting in a little better position hedging wise in that they will absolutely know their intrinsic value at the end of the day before their game starts.
Deadline for entries, at least in Circa Survivor, is 10 p.m. Pacific tonight for the remaining folks who are responsible for those 74 remaining entries. Joe, let's do this again when we get down to fewer and we can have a more clean sort of discussion about it in specific. But that is, man, good luck to all those players. And shout out to Derek Stevens, Mike Palm, Jeffrey Benson, and of course Matthew Metcalf and the crew that run it. Because what an outstanding contest! I know you and I have had tremendous fun playing it the last 3 years. Thank you, Joe.
Great being on, Gil. Happy Thanksgiving to both you guys.
You too,
Kelly.
Joe Pedat, Magic Rat SF, by the way, dovetails into our pro tip of the hour, which has to do with Survivor. And basically, the goal is to win, not survive. You need to start thinking about zigging where people are zagging. It's very difficult. I get it. You have lived with this entry for as long as you have from the beginning of the year. You're responsible for getting this far. So it's difficult to get your brain into it's time to win mode. But that's what you're trying to do here. And if you have, it's not really as clean this year as last year, which is the point Joe was making above all. But if there are obvious choices in the weeks moving forward that could get you really quickly to the promised land, you got to make them. It's your pro tip of the hour. VSiN.com is where they're all searchable. We'll come back. Mike Pritchard on the NFL next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.